Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
So I am sort of egotistically surmising that you enjoyed the last hour and found it very valuable. And as you will, the next hour, please God. It's important that if you have a problem that nobody is able to fix, all you need to do is give me a call. I'm using this 5 minutes up because a lot of stations don't get this. Either they have this 5 minutes or 6 minutes at the beginning or the top of the hour, we say, is usually news for the commercial stations, while the stations other than the ones I've had for years and years and years and years and years, they hear this. I just want to make sure that you now have, please God, and assuming that you've been listening to the first hour, which was somewhat magical, and it gets more magical, depends upon what kind of question you ask, how deep and beautiful and simple is your question, and how simple and beautiful is the answer. I'm saying, having just set that in motion, which I didn't intend to do, I was setting up you up to send donation, which I'll talk about later on, is that there's only one route to all of human problems. One route. See, an ant is an ant. I don't see ant having illnesses. I don't hear rats and mice getting illnesses. I don't know, you know, the wild creatures in the forest, they don't get hardly ever. And even if they have fight, have big scores, big cuts, and yawning cuts, they don't need any medicine or bandages or antibiotics. No, look how healthy they all are wherever you are. I mean, the ones that are weak don't make it. Nor should they. It's the survival of the fittest, and the fittest they are. But look at you, miserable creatures, because the first time you have a little headache, it comes an headache. All of a sudden you've got, you know, Excedrin headache. So you need two, and then you need four, and then you need eight. Then you got somebody coming along and says, well, this one tablet will do the same as eight. And each time you do this, you are becoming addicted to the relief of a sin, something irritated, upset, something we can talk about in this program. 800-866-8883. Call me Monday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. and then the rest of the evening from 9 to midnight is refeed. And we're going to take Daryl in just a few minutes, and if you'd like to call me with a problem and that you don't know how to fix, and you only make it worse, and if you're dying, all the more reason you call me, because you can come to a point of no return and still be like the thief on the cross, into the paradise, where one thief wouldn't, he mocked, and the other thief says, but we deserve what we got. The other one mocked him while he was hanging there. And there's two different distinct individuals. So there's this last moment redemption. But we don't want it to be a last moment, what I just said, redemption. We don't want it to be that way, do we? We want to live a life. We want to develop a self, a new self within a self, and get rid of the old self. And so make it disappear, make it turn into fumes, so it just floats away, and leaving you to being inwardly motivated. You have emotions, but you don't feel them. You don't feel them because you are motivated. But I use the word emoted. If there's no such word, please, let's put it in the dictionary. But you are emoted. You're motivated. But you don't feel any any of the extremes, like, wow, I'm so happy. I'm getting happy and happy and happy and happy because I'm having lots and lots and lots of fun and lots and lots and lots of music. See? And so I'm going to, I feel superior, because I'm looking down my nose and setting you up to fail, you miserable creature. All you're doing is projecting your own rottenness. See? So that, well, you see what I'm saying, don't you? Hear the music. Okay, so if you want to go to the website, please support the program. The website is fhu.com/donate.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
All right, we've got a caller from leftover from the first hour. And his alcoholism disappeared. And that's where we left it. And I started to babble and use up time, so now, Daryl, you can babble. Are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
You can babble all you want now.
Well,
save whatever you want.
The entire call the lady was speaking to before me, but I also, your political beliefs are straight on, old bean.
you have my language.
The fascists and the communists meet in the middle, and we have a totalitarian government in this country right now.
Yeah, the Soviet they're both fascists in a sense we were talking about, but one of them is the female, and it has its way through seduction over years, over the generations, until it puts you all into a sleep and acts through you, and you think you love your tormentor, see? And it was a struggle between the extreme right and the extreme left, and during the period of the various presidents, the tendency is it to be more liberal. See, liberal's a nice person, you know, just doesn't realize that he's an appeaser, but he's still a decent person. But to the left of the liberal is a socialist or a Marxist, and that's the ranks of one of the parties, the Democrats, are riddled with these left wing creatures. That, and then the tendency is to, over the years, to breed through the universities more copies of yourself, until doctors are that way, lawyers are that way. They all tend to be leaning in that direction, and they're communists, but they think they're American because they're born here. But they have communist ideas, and even the lawyers are programmed to self-destruct because they're not intelligent enough to see, even if the intelligent ones, but the super, super intelligent ones are the ones that you don't see. Now, even Obama did not create himself. He's a creation of that process. And he's put in that job. He was trained and programmed. He is a programmed. He's not the one that's to come after him. If we're not careful, something much worse will take his place. See, it could be martial law. And then, of course, he'd be president for life, wouldn't he? So today, since we just drifted off into the subject, that subject matter, let me see. The Conservative Party, USA, and it's Conservative Party, USA, at mail, and then it goes VRESP.com. But I think you can find it there. They're calling for civil disobedience and legal revolt now. Actually, that's a good idea, as long as it's done peacefully and with strength, and not to be intimidated by it, and not to respond with violence and hostility. The key is strength, and strength that doesn't come from being angry, and the strength that comes from, well, what I'm talking about that will make everybody straight and frighten the bejesus out of people. And the, I didn't say Jesus, but the bejeebus, so to speak, as if he was talking to you, you know. And it's not, it's the dark side that talks to most people. And they think it's their own self. The average person, I just want to share my, oh, he's gone. Oh, we lost him. Oh, dear. Well, that's just, that's what I get for talking too much. Well, all right. The lines are up now, if you'd like to call in. 800-866-8883. I would like you to read this. Maybe I should read this. Maybe I should. This is because it's now official. This is the Conservative Party calls for civil disobedience and legal result. There's got to be, sooner or later, something has to happen this way, because sooner or later you've got to wake up to see what that you didn't want to wake up to. And the longer you wait, the worse it's going to be, until there's no way back. But the point is, how do you do this? It's easy to call for, you know, for civil disobedience, but the point is, we've got so many weak people, so many people on drugs, so many people on welfare, and medicine, dependent upon their medicine to exist, to keep the pain from, you know, making their lives miserable. But what's taking the pain away is what's making your life more miserable, because it's not really curing you. Every it's a strange thing how can I say it? There's something I wanted to say to you, if I could just find it in a refined way. The cure, first of all, you create a problem, okay, and you react to the problem, okay, and then if you know how to play the game, you create the problem, but then you give a solution that looks like a solution, but it makes you worse. And therefore, that's what's happening to this country. Every solution, they create the problem, and then when it starts to burn and it starts to bother you, he'll do something, or he'll lie about it. Or we put a different light on it. You don't see what you really see. See, because I'm happy, see? And I'm a nice fellow. Why don't you like me? And if the fact that you like somebody is pretty dangerous, because you could be liking the devil if you're not careful. You have to see what... You got to be careful about like and love. But the only way you can be safe is to have an inward light. You see, you have a pair of eyes, like a dog, like a monkey. You see, but you are missing something. You do not perceive. Jesus said it, I'm saying it again. It's another light that shines through the eye. It's another eye. It looks into the depths of things. It sees what it needs to be seen and to be revealed, but you don't judge it. You don't, that person looks like a nice person. That person looks like a bad person. That's interesting. I'll keep an eye on that. It's the attitude. You don't judge. Oh, this is a wonderful person. Look how nice they are to me. No, you're finished. Okay, so I'm going to get back to Daryl. We lost him for a few minutes, and I was able to enjoy myself, talking to myself for a little while, and we got Daryl back. And if you want to call me, ladies and gentlemen, please, Give me a problem you can't resolve. Give me a shot at it. That's all I'm asking you. You want to die? I know how to help you to live. I know how to help you survive. Doctors, psychiatrists are using my techniques. The military love it. I don't have enough money to be able to continue doing what I have been doing. Hundreds of thousands. Like 100,000 CDs I gave. I just ran out of money, and then another 400,000, 500,000 downloads. But there's millions that I've got to get to them. You know, if you can just, what's your favorite coffee place? You know, you take a coffee, and it costs you $3 or $4 or $5, whatever it is, and a bag of potato chips. Wouldn't it be better to send $20 to the foundation every month? Or, you know, through what they call it? Auto debit. See, and I've lost that place where FHU.com/donate. They can do that. Now let's go to Daryl, then we go to Robin. And Daryl, just in case you didn't hear this, he overcame. He's calling up with an update, and the update is he doesn't drink anymore. It went away. Is that so? That's an opening, at least for you, Daryl. If you start with that point, I'd appreciate it. Are you there, Daryl?
Yeah.
So I'll let you talk now. You've got to say things here. Go ahead.
I was a slave. I thought, I can't do this. I can't do this. And it just went away.
But it went away by itself without any effort. Is that correct?
Yes.
Isn't it amazing that what you tried to overcome, that drinking, went away all on its own without your effort? Now, then the question is, from everybody should be, how's this possible? See, I know how it's possible, but I can't share it with people. I can help you do it, but I can't explain the magic of it. It is the magic of God's presence. That's it. He made the universe. He made you in his image. And he set this paradise lost thing in motion. And you were born into it. But we're still innocent, and we are being controlled by the powers that be, and motivated that way, schooled that way, and all the while, many of us feel something wrong about learning, about the way they're having the wrong kinds of friends, and way the country's going. But a lot of people don't see anything wrong with what's wrong with themselves. They'll see something wrong with you for seeing something wrong with them. And you could become very unpopular in a place like Hitler Germany and right. Stalin Russia, you see. So we still got freedom. So, Daryl, you don't need to understand. All you need to know is be grateful. If you do the meditation and you've got a good heart, and the proof of the pudding is you've got a good heart, and when you meditated, he accepts your offering of yourself in him. So you're crossing the border. And now you're subject to the good side of the force, where you were subject to the dark side of the force. That's all. It's called freedom.
Well, God bless you, Roy.
He has, and he's blessed you too. You know what it says? I just, it came to my mind, I should bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Right?
Yes.
Okay. And that's exactly what I keep saying. When people hate me for what I'm doing, they die. And they die in a very strange way. There's a thousand ways, thousands of ways to die. You can't see where it's going to come and hit you. It's best to have to listen to what I have to say, awaken, and nothing will befall me. Nothing will befall you harmly. You may get harm, and you may get hurt, but you will always mysteriously recover. Something magical always happens to keep you alive and growing. Okay, we'll be right back.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, juveniles and crocodiles, if I may call you that. my friends. We have a caller. Another caller, Robin. Hello, Robin.
Hello, Roy.
And what can I do for you, young lady?
Well, I've spoken to you several times, and I've also been to one of your seminars.
Yes.
And my life.
Yes.
And I ended up at Walmart teaching this, and everything. What I teach is very controversial because I teach basically plant-based eating, lots and lots of plant foods, and I teach people how to get all their nutrients, basically mostly from food and to whole foods. And so I'm in there teaching this, and I'm always, I'm a published author. I've written a book that's been published by a publishing company, a nutrition wellness book. And I am always struggling financially, but I always make it. I just barely make it. I live very comfortably, but, I mean, I never know where my next money's coming from.
Well, it's about right. That's me. Listen, I do what I love. I'm not embracing something selfish.
You
love this,
yes.
And you are given to believe it, and it's helpful, and people appreciate it. Is that correct?
Yes, and people.
That's enough. Well. That is enough happiness.
Yes.
And I don't have to be rich. I could be rich if I wanted to be. I remember what the scripture says. I didn't know it. That I was on the path, but when I read the Bible, he says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added to you. But many people are so lost, they want the things that to be added. They seek the things to be added because they think that will make them happy, and it doesn't. And the more you get, the more you want, or you can't get. And no matter how much you try, you get worse and worse until you just fall aside and just give up and die.
Well, I'm getting much better at accepting this. And, I mean, just not going into the panic. And I've had a real kind of double-minded spirit about
it. Oh, you have a panic?
No, I don't anymore because I've done a lot. I've been listening to you for a while. So
oh, that's good.
And I was having this double-minded spirit where, you know, I would always...
Yeah, I know. You got another self within yourself.
Right.
We were talking about that.
So finally, I'm not listening to that anymore.
Ah, that's a wonderful thing.
But let me tell you what, I've had some very strange dreams, and I know that David's the dream...
I'm not very good at that.
Well, but I think that you're going to understand this.
Maybe, yes.
I've had two dreams recently... And I've never had a dream like this before in my life, Roy, ever.
Well, most dreams are nothing, but some dreams are really something.
These are something. And one I had, I went up in an elevator in a castle, and I was going to the fourth floor, and maybe I owned the place, and they were renovating it. And I went up there, and when the elevator neared the fourth floor, there was like this evil... intense evil radiating out of the fourth floor. And the door, but I knew I had to go in there. I knew I had to do it. So I opened the doors open and I walked in, and it was Satan. He was just standing. There was a small, kind of elegant man. I didn't get to see him too well. My second dream, I got to see him very well. And I just walked in and I looked at him. And all I said was, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's all I said. No commands, nothing. Just in the name of Jesus Christ. And he dissolved. He just disappeared. And I went running through there, leaping with joy and saying, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. And I jumped, went out the French doors and jumped over the banister and kind of flew down the four flights going, I'm free, I'm free. I knew that I wasn't going to have any illnesses or anything again. I was free. Now, that's one dream.
Yes.
Then just two nights ago, I had another dream. Mm-hmm. And this one, I was going, and it was in front of a car, I guess, and I had seen a billboard. It was with two men, and I saw a billboard that had some clue. I mean, it was telling me, like, you know, some important spiritual thing, but I couldn't really see it. And I told them, I said, we've got to go see that billboard. So the car started driving up this mountain. It was like I was in the Swiss Alps, really tall, spiky mountains, and was going higher and higher, and he was driving very recklessly, and I was hanging on for dear life, and I knew that I was going to be thrown out and die, and I kind of got where I accepted that, but then I started screaming, Mama, Mama, Mama. I just started screaming. It was so desperate, I was just screaming, Mama, for my mother, and then I But finally, then we ended up in like a restaurant up in the air. Just it was like some otherworldly place. And I was sitting next to my husband, who was not my husband, but I mean, in the dream, he was my husband. And there was this man in front of me, an elegant elderly gentleman. And I was looking at him, and he was explaining that there are territories all over the planet, and there's like a spirit over each territory, and he had taken me through catatonia, and I was experiencing the spirit of catatonic, and that's why I was yelling, repeating that Mama, 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 because he had taken me through there. And I looked at him, and all of a sudden his pupils started to dilate, and I said, excuse me, but you have a very peculiar eye, your pupil is dilating. And then I noticed the other one started to do it the opposite. It would contract while the other one would dilate. It looked very bizarre. It was very extreme. And then all of a sudden I realized this: I was sitting across from Satan.
Yes.
It's exactly who I was sitting across. And the man next to me was in his worked for him. My husband.
Boy, I couldn't remember a dream that like that.
I don't know. Boy, I usually don't even remember my dreams. Every once in a while.
But what's the point?
Well, I don't know. Why
well,
am I dreaming about Satan, and I've never dreamt about Satan before in my life?
Well, I did. I didn't dream. I can tell you my story.
Okay.
Well, it's very simple. I left Houston and with a trailer, you know, for my family.
Yeah.
And we headed west to Los Angeles, and we went to, you know, we went to Disneyland. But there's a place around, I can't find out the words for it, a trailer park,
uh-huh.
with orange trees. And we settled down there because I'd come to share with the world what I learned in the Institute of Hypnosis. The day we got there, I was laying on the ground on the floor because the kids had the beds, and there's lots of books and things like that, wrote phonograph records in those days.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I closed my eyes, meditated, closed my eyes, everything went black. I never seen black like that, ever. You close your eyes, you see light. And you see the little twinkles moving across the screen of your mind. But when I did that, instead of that, it was black. And then my hands began to turn to claws. My ears seemed to be pointed up. And down there, in the darkness, you could not see it, but you could sense something waiting for you. And then something said to me, oh God. I woke up. I've been good ever since. Where did I get that? I got it from my wife, see, because she had a very bad, difficult life. And in my relationship with her, I got infected. Well, we need to, ladies and gentlemen, my friends. I don't know about Robin, but I don't know how to respond to those dreams. I admit that dreams are not my specialty. However, every now and then, I'd have dreams, and the way I came to Grants Pass is I knew that I had to move out of Los Angeles, that's 30 years ago. And I woke up one morning, and something was saying, let me see, Rogue River, Rouge River, Red River. I've seen a movie called that. I didn't know whether it's Red River, Rouge River, that. So it kept on saying it to each other. And so I'd fired. I knew that I had to get out of Los Angeles because of the future, which you have now, you're experiencing right now. I had to be in a small city and not be in a big city and get my kids out of school. And I had that I woke up with those things in my mind every morning for months. Red River, Rouge River, Rogue River. So I fired my commander-in-chief, my next, you know, the next in line, and he came up to be he got real estate, and then he says, "So why don't you come up here in Oregon? I think you've got a place where you can do the thing that you want to do with kids." And so I went up there, and there it was, Tall Timber Ranch, 400 acres, very inexpensive, and three people were waiting, and I was the fourth one, but I got it. It's worth a lot of money now, but still, we have it all these years. And I came into a Ku Klux Klan town, a Jewish man. So you know I went through some trials and tribulations. But I've been here 25, 30 years now. I woke up one morning, and I never knew that the place that I bought the Tall Timber Ranch is in Rogue River. I didn't know it for several years till after that. And that's not a coincidence. That was meant to be. See? And I said, oh. See, it came together. I have a life that's led that way. See? Those are the kind of dreams and thoughts that have substance. But I'm not sure about Robin here. I know about for myself, but I'm not sure. You know, if you have a dream that you have a bad father, for example, and your father was a really wicked person, and it's essential that you love your father, you have to honor your mother and father, and you can say to yourself, what does that mean? Okay, I'll continue in just a minute.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Well, Robin, I just quit trying to lecture
well, that's
you
all
on.
Right.
I just try to help you out a little bit. I understand my own dreams, and they're not very often. Most of them are just nothing, but every now and then there is something.
Yes, Well, I have something else. If I've still got your ear.
Well, I can't make much of that, except it does sound.
Well, it's not about a dream.
Let me just give you an example of a simple dream, a simple one.
Okay.
I thought I'd just quit, but I think I'd just start again on this one. So you get it.
Okay.
I give an example. Not that I ever heard of one like this, but I give an example of a kid who's badly beaten by his father, and he hates his father. And the kid is a good kid, and the hate him is destroying him.
Yes.
And so one night, when he's about 50 years old, he's really in trouble. But he's searching. And so the dream is like this. Because if you don't love the father you can see, you cannot love the father you cannot see. That's the truth. That's why you have to honor your mother and father, even though they're no damn good. Mm-hmm. Because they cannot help themselves. They're products of a linear products of Paradise Lost. It goes from generation to generation. So you can't, when you find yourself standing in your parents' shoes, you begin to see, oh my God, I'm being angry with my father. I'm just as bad as he is in a different way, or the same way. Got it. So this is how God works in a dream. This is how I made this up. I want to tell you, but this is how he works. So in order to get him to love God, and you see, this is a good man, but it's terribly broken. And so in a dream, his father appears, and his father is comely. All of a sudden, he has a smile on his face. It's him, all right. But he's saying to you, I'm sorry, son, but I do love you. I couldn't help myself, see. But it isn't, and this is a sweet thing for the young person to be dreaming. That my father? No, it's not his father. It's the memory of his father, the picture with God moving through it. So he will love the father he cannot see to counter the father that he hated that he could see. See that?
Yes.
And so God made it possible for him to love him by loving his, by give, putting up, acting through the image of his dad.
I see.
You see, because the dad, he wasn't born to beat his own child up. But the point is, the father was also a victim, and we're all victims, creating victims. See that? We all.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So honor your mother and father. That makes sense to realize that they couldn't help themselves as you get older. You realize that you're standing in their shoes.
Yes.
Oh, my God. See that? So I don't know how to make any heads or tails about what you said. But I think you can hear what I'm saying in that kind of dream. It's meaningful, and it's real, because you're actually meeting God through this image. You can't see God, but he's acting through Dad, the image.
Yes.
And because that image is Jesus-like, it's almost like, in that case, that Dad would be Jesus. The image of that, what was behind him was God, and Jesus always, when he was walked the earth, he said, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God." He said, "Don't call me good, only the Father." See that? And so even he was represented, but his image was real. But the image in the dream is equivalent to that, and it has its power to regenerate and to get the boy to love that which was beyond the image. If you have a good father, I had a very good dad who died at 42, and I never saw him much, but there was like a canopy over my household. I was carefree, always carefree. And when he died, my love for him, I didn't know I loved him, because there was no feeling. But when he died, there was a feeling, a longing, a missing. And that missing, all of a sudden, I was walking down the street one day, and I have this pain, this yearning, and something says, your father, he's not your father, I am. And all of a sudden, I transferred the love of my father to the love of my spiritual father that was in him. That's what I loved about him. God was in him. It was easy transfer. That's all I can tell you, Robin. I can't do much more unless you have another problem. I'll give you my best shot.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
I do recommend you go to the brainwashing, the synthesis of the Russian textbook on psychopolitics. I think you should read that book. It's downloadable, I think, for $10. I think that is. It's about 60 pages. I don't know how many pages it is, but 8 by 10. But it is... You will be shocked. It's not easy to read because it's scary. Because it's what's happening to you and this country now. I had 10,000 of those printed. I couldn't give them away because people opened it and they just dropped it like a hot potato. Because they immediately see that you're the victim. People don't want to see how rotten they are. People want to unconsciously make other people worse. They make their children worse than themselves. Or they glorify their children. But then they're playing God. And causing the child to become codependent and nothing. Or rebel. See? And you've got problems both. So, the problems go from generation to generation. But the point is, how do we get to this state in our country, where it's not here. All right, where do we get to the point in America where we see us falling apart? That we've elected the devil, so to speak. We've been deceived, not just once but twice. Shame on us. See, shame on him first, but shame on us for the second time around. And so you actually have become a people that, in a manner of speaking, the sentiment is, when you are broken, is to look for love in all the wrong places. Because the identity that has made a home in you is in conflict with your Creator. In other words, it sits unholy in the place or the throne of the holy, in a manner of speaking, as you. You're sitting in the throne of the holy, next in the throne that he gives you, to give you self-confidence and give you a life and an understanding of how to exist in a way that comes from within. See, and so that is the important thing for most of us to understand. We can't help being born into our culture, which takes hold of us, lock, stock, and barrel. And you may do not realize that you could be a Christian or a Jew. You could take, if you could drop anybody, if God wanted to drop a Muslim down the chimney in a Jewish place, he would be brought up as a Jewish person and not know it's any different. Programming. It's a good programming. It's a reasonable good. It's a good program. Or a Christian. Or a cannibal. That's what you'd be. And you're programmed, and you wouldn't see anything wrong with it. And you will be a subject to the cannibal king. And when the cannibal king dies, you will elect someone as bad as him, if not worse, to tell you how good your rottenness is. And that's what's happening in America. That's how you get the kind of government you deserve, you see. You've got the government you deserve. And how are we going to do that, overcome this? Is something I need to talk about. Here it is. Let me just check this a minute. I want you, please, as the result of my discussions with you all, I've tried to tell you over the years that you're going downhill very quickly, and with your drugs and your alcohol and your divorces and everything else like that. I mean, same-sex marriages, and you're becoming demoralized. Nearly all of you are demoralized to a tremendous degree, totally different. In other words, Americans are so totally, with exception of a percentage, of course, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's a fair amount. You're not the same people. To me, when I came to America, you know, it's more than 66, 67 years ago. This was not like it is now. Violence. I mean, there's always something going on, but not to the extent that we are seeing now. We're actually becoming completely demoralized. We do not know how to deal with the left. It's intimidation. See, you know, lives, black lives count. White lives count. All of a sudden, there's an argument. What? You see, they make an argument. It's, you cannot reason with them. And the result is you give in. Now, you gave a name to that. The Russians' technology has a name for it. It's thesis, antithesis, synthesis. It's a game. You create an argument, a specious argument, anything crazy, and you push it. You got lots of money to push it and get support and create a loud noise. And people will start to react. And they push it harder. And you try to reason with it. But the more you reason with it, the more you give it power. And finally, it overcomes you. You give in. Thesis is the idea. Synthesis is the pressure. See, the thesis, the synthesis, and the antithesis is the solution you give in. I'm not sure if I got it right. Where you'll get this information is Brainwashing is a Synthesis of the Russian Textbook of Psychopolitics, available on FHU Shopping Cart. Hard copy and download. Okay. Also, I began the program, because this is the end of this hour. The Conservative Party, USA, I mean the actual Conservative Party, are saying this. They're saying, let me see, they're calling for civil disobedience and nullification are pathways to revolution. See? And they say that. And there's an article that you need to read if you will go. They're actually beginning to talk about the tyranny and that we don't have to put up with that. We can legally be disobedient. I think there's a name for that. That means civil disobedience. That's one of them, yes. Yes. That's it. The Conservative Party urges all conservatives to engage in peaceful civil disobedience to confound the recent SCOTUS decision that forces gay marriage in all 50 states. That absurd decision is direct frontal assault on traditional American values and rips away our religious freedoms. At the very least, the court should have allowed the states to decide such moral religious issues. It goes on and goes on. He said we must reject those rulings in every turn. We must disobey the federal and state court decisions or government decrees supporting the Scotus ruling, I think that's how you pronounce it, even if it means fending off lawsuits or loss of one's jobs. We must file counter lawsuits. We must delay and restrict issuing any gay marriage. It goes on and on and on. We have to nullify the court's decisions and to we the people elect a real American president and true conservatives to Congress who will fix this godforsaken court. It goes on. You need to read this. Let me see if I can give it to you again. It's worth it. It's called, go to from the Conservative Party USA, and you look it up as Conservative Party USA at mail, and then it goes V.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, and I also want I haven't got the time this evening to go into the thesis, antithesis, synthesis, but they have a technique of intimidating you into submission and starting all kinds of silly things and make it important, like your lives are important, you see. Black lives are important. White lives are, all of a sudden there's an argument. Crazy. Not crazy as a fox. Is the whole idea is to get you riled up and giving into it and reacting to it. The thing is, you just laugh it away. Really should. But how do you do that? That's the question. If you listen to this program, see, just one of you isn't enough. 100 of you, we need millions of people to sort of smirk, in a manner of speaking. Throw it away. Don't let it bother you. You know, there's ways of making a person really feel really stupid. And that is what you need to do, is make the left look stupid. Because if you don't make the left look stupid, they will make you stupid, not just in looks, you really will be. That you start to argue with it. It's a facetious argument. And there's no solution to it except you give in. They will keep pushing and pushing, and as long as they get energy, as long as you yield, as long as you play the game, you start to lose your power. You cannot reason with a crazy people. The people on the left are mentally programmed. They don't have they're driven by forces they cannot see. The lawyers, the psychiatrists, the teachers in the schools are all infected with that and passing that infection into the children who grow up to infect their own children until all of the values that we have are gone, they're argued away. Same-sex marriage, are you kidding? And I don't mean to be rude, but what is homosexuality? Can we discuss it? No. We can't, can we? What happens when people have, when they're homosexuals, what do they do? You don't want to talk about it, do you? You don't even want to show it on a screen. I guess you do. After a while, you're going to get it on a screen. In full view. And you'll be surprised how, once you get corrupted, how the corruptor becomes more attractive than reality. I'm telling you, Hitler knew what he was doing. Within 13, 14 years, he had mesmerized everybody into doing his will, and most of the nation in fear of standing up against it in the threat of death. That is what's going to happen to America if you're not careful. There's enough now if you understand the name of the game, so that when you somebody throws you a curve, which is ridiculous, say, excuse me, but it's a bit ridiculous, I don't really want to talk about that, go away. You can do it that way. There's lots of ways of doing it, but when somebody brings up something absurd, especially your wife, sir, you don't try to reason with it. You just say no.
What do you mean no?
You know, she says no. I says no, so no.
I'm going to go back to my mummy.
No, what? No, don't say. Don't, when a person is emotional like that,
I'm going to divorce you.
See, don't say okay. Go ahead and divorce. No, if you say go ahead, you are programming that person to have to do it. That is a hypnotic state. Do you understand? The big mistake is when your wife says, I'm going to divorce you. Now go ahead and divorce. The minute you do that, her emotional states will pick that up and she cannot stop but do it. And you helped. And you don't know you're doing that. So you, instead of being so calm and waiting till the morning after the night before, she's all calmed down, she feels silly. Or it may go on for a week. As long as you stay cool, she cannot get away. And the more it frustrates her to try to frustrate you, and you get stronger, and she will begin to have respect for you. If not, she'll not have respect for you and try harder. And what she'll be trying harder to do is to make you a man. Since I'm using an example towards the end of the program, which will make another good program one of these days. So, therefore, the anger could be, that can't you be a man and say no to me? Because you don't know that's what she wants. But I can tell you that's what most women want. A man say no, not tonight, no, Josephine. And argue with the unreasonable thing she wants. She's testing you. Your children test you. Your government tests you. When are you going to wake up? But you do see, but your tendency is to buy into it by reacting and becoming its victim. And emboldening the person that's made you a victim that used to be weaker than you, now they're stronger than you. So the dope pusher impoverishes the dope addict, doesn't he? They change places, impoverish him, demoralize him, to take away his freedom. But he doesn't know it. He thinks this is life. He's got a little girl with him, and they're both doing it together. They drink together, smoke together, take dope together. They're supporting each other. See? And up pops the weasel, right? Or up pop goes the weasel, they say. The tendency is to look down and look into the world, to rise to the occasion of your anxieties. And those forces are at work, intimidating you, making you upset until you're weary and you give in. You're weary and you give in. And it becomes more and more unreasonable, and you're weary and you give in, and pretty soon you've lost your whole life.
You heard last night, it's because I love you most of all.
Yes, the phone number to call this evening, if you want to call for some business, get donations, 800-877-3227. And that's till 11 o'clock tonight. Somebody be there at the office. 800-877-3227. And my website is fhu.com. I would like for you to buy the synthesis of the Russian textbook of psychopolitics. It's available on the Foundation shopping cart. Hard copy and download. See, fhu.com. Please support the program. You know, the cup of coffee and cookies cost you when you go to, you know, to Starbucks. If you give that $20 to the foundation every month, somebody lives where they would have died.